Hang on now, baby. We are right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Monday edition of Before You Bet. Aaron live right now on the covers, YouTube, and actually, great to have football back in our lives once again. Didn't that feel so good? Yesterday, Red Zone on one TV, Dolphins picking up a win on the other. Yeah, it feels good. We're right back into it. The world is right again. Just an avalanche of football action every single weekend. We're covering it all here on Before You Bet. So pretty big game tonight in San Francisco. Aaron Rodgers makes his return, the most polarizing team in the NFL, the New York Jets taking on the 49ers. We're going to be all over that. We're going to do a little recap segment of what we saw yesterday and in week one. Then in the back half of the show, Brad Powers will be here. We're going to be looking to get a jump on some of these week three college football lines. So make sure you stick around for that. But first, let us cover the NFL, little recap, then into this game tonight. So let's bring in our guy, the man with the sexiest smile in all of sports betting. There he is, Jingles. Hey. What's up, buddy?
Joe, happy Monday after first of week one, I guess. It's a tough wake up, no alarm, 7 o'clock. I mean, I had to sweat out one more Monty Carey last night into overtime. He had 9 in the first half, had 12 and a half. He was sitting on 12. The rotation with Detroit was funny, but profitable Sunday for me, but always nice to have 12 hours of football uninterrupted. I don't know if we'll be able to get away with it as family men all year long, but it was nice to squeeze it in yesterday.
Yeah, well, you have a pretty good excuse when you do this for a living. It's like, leave me alone, family. I'm doing work here. I'm watching 7 hours of commercial-free football right into Sunday night football. But yeah, I did good Friday, 2-0. I got crushed yesterday during the Sunday game, so that was a bit of a bummer for the first Sunday of the NFL season. But going to hope to finish the week off strong here, Monday night football. We each have two bets for that. But first, let's do a little recap. We're not going to spend too much time recapping here on the Monday show, but we're going to give you guys our biggest winners and the losers of the week. So let's start positive. Here's my list of the biggest winners of the week in the NFL. Gerard Mayo, Tua and the Dolphins, and former Panthers QB. So let's start with Mayo and the Patriots. No one was expecting anything from the Patriots here going into Cincinnati yesterday. They could have lost that game by 20 points. And people wouldn't have thought a thing of it. First game post Belichick, they completely shut out the Bengals offense. Joe Burrow is awful. He threw for 164 yards. I don't want to hear about T. Higgins not being there in the Chase contract situation. They're paying Joe Burrow a lot of money. Everyone tells me this guy's a top five quarterback. He didn't play very well here yesterday. So Patriots, try to keep it rolling. I don't know if we're going to have them here in my winner segment again for the rest of the season, but they're a 3.5-point underdog versus the Seahawks on Sunday. Low total of 38 points in that one. Next up, am I biased? 100%. But my second biggest winner of the week would be Tua and the Miami Dolphins. So not a good first half, but that turned out to be an ugly, gritty win for Miami. And they don't win a lot of games like that. And this is a big deal. It is a sign of growth. What is the knock on the Dolphins? The knock on the Dolphins is that they are soft. If they're up by two scores, hey, they're going to look pretty good when they're playing the New York Giants on their home field. But when they get smacked in the mouth for a full half of football, it doesn't go their way. They usually fold, but this was not the case yesterday. They responded. They must have been losing for 90% of that game. It was not going their way, but they end up winning the game. And credit to Tua, who was probably their best player yesterday, him and Holland, actually. Ramsey made a really nice play as well on fourth down. But so here's the situation. Dolphins tie it up with about 4 minutes left in the game. And I think to myself, okay, this is a very interesting situation because you have Tua and Trevor Lawrence, two guys that are often kind of grouped in together when people are doing their quarterback rankings. Both guys got massive contracts in the offseason. And I think to myself, wow, both of these guys are going to have the opportunity to earn that money and win the game for their team. Trevor Lawrence gets the ball first. He goes 3 and out. Tua gets the ball next, goes upfield, 9 plays, runs the clock, puts the team in the situation to kick a game-winning field goal. 12 of 16 passing in the second half for Tua, leads the league in passing yards for the week. Big challenge for them on Thursday night football versus the Bills. And then my third winner, how about former Panthers quarterbacks yesterday? Carolina would have loved to have Baker Mayfield or Sam Darnold chucking it for them yesterday. Everyone loves a good redemption story, right? How about Baker Mayfield looking like one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL? 4 touchdowns, led the Bucs to 37 points. Sam Darnold gets a new era in Minnesota, off to a strong start, very efficient, 19 of 24 passing. Easy win for the Vikings, so we'll see how Darnold does now that he's finally in a good situation. Let's give that a little bit of time to breathe there in Minnesota. But those are my three biggest winners of the week. Jingles, who do you have as your three biggest winners of the week?
We start off with Josh Allen. Things were getting pretty ugly early in that game. That was the one I had on next to Red Zone early. And Josh Allen just kind of took over the game. And that's why he's moved up to plus 500 to be the MVP, only number two behind Patrick Mahomes. I was a guy looking for Ray Davis TDs, but guess what? It was Josh Allen at the goal line. Absolutely big man in his body into the end zone. James Cook not getting a lot of looks in that area, but James Cook did look great between the 20s. Josh Allen is going to put this team on his back. There wasn't much else. I mean, guys like Kincaid really didn't do too much, but Josh Allen looked great. Comeback. If they lose to Arizona and have to turn around and play your Dolphins on Monday night, 0-2 would have been staring them down in the face, and that was a big win comeback. Number two, Sean McVay. I don't know if you watched last night's football, the entire game. The Rams were already missing 2 tackles. They lost another tackle. They were down 3 cornerbacks. That obviously Aaron Donald was out. This was a team that was struggling with depth, injuries, and then Puka Nacua goes down, absolutely crushing my SGP. But they were down 17-3. They came back. Matt Stafford looked great, and you have to give Sean McVay a lot of credit for, I mean, that's why they keep poaching his OCs and his DCs. The man knows what he's doing. He put together a really good game plan, and those guys who bet Detroit, -4.5 like myself, we got bailed out. And finally, I'm with you, but I'm going to add Derek Carr to that list. Sam Darnold, Derek Carr, Baker Mayfield, the holy trinity of QBs in week one. Insane. All top 5 in EPA per play, top 7 in success rate, number 1, number 2, and number 3 in CPOE. And combined, those three, 3-0 straight up, outscored opponents 112-36. Interesting to see, you already touched on Baker Mayfield. He beat up Washington pretty good. Washington defense looked atrocious. Well, guess what? Who gets that defense in week 2? Daniel Jones. So let's see how bad Daniel Jones really is.
That is an ugly shit situation for the New York Giants.
You can call it a situation. It is a situation for sure.
A shit-situation. Yeah. Start using that around here. Daniel Jones, I don't know if he's going to be starting much longer there for the New York Giants. They are sick and tired of that guy. Okay, let's go negative now. Our biggest losers of the week. I'm going to get us started. So my biggest loser of the week, Zach Taylor, head coach of the Bengals. So low-key, I think this guy is one of the worst head coaches in the NFL. That is a very strong statement, but this team always gets off to awful starts, and I think most of that is on him. So, like I said, I don't want to hear about the Chase holdout. I do not want to hear about T. Higgins being out. You're playing the New England Patriots on your home field. That's one of the worst rosters in the NFL. And you guys score 10 points in that game on your home field. And they have not learned their lesson. What is with the awful starts here for the Cincinnati Bengals? And a lot of this is on Joe Burrow, too. Can't let this guy off the hook. So, last season in week 1, they lost 24-3 to the Cleveland Browns. And look at this team in weeks 1 and 2 in the Joe Burrow era. They are 1-8 in weeks 1 and 2 since Joe Burrow came into the league. Some awful losses, too. They've lost Deshaun Watson, Mitch Trubisky, Cooper Rush, Justin Fields, Tyrod Taylor, and Jacoby Brissett yesterday. So Zach Taylor, head coach of the Bengals, he is my biggest loser of the week. My second biggest loser of the week, it's the Atlanta Falcons. They didn't live up to the hype that they had built all offseason, all the big-time additions they made. The quarterback situation, one of the worst in the NFL for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Still, Justin Fields throws for more yards than Kirk Cousins. The Falcons scored 2 points on their home field in week 1 after everything we saw there in the offseason. My third biggest loser, Bryce Young and David Canales. So, not much expected from the Carolina Panthers. They easily could have lost that game. No one would have thought anything of it. But give your fans a glimmer of hope here, guys. A former number 1 overall pick, the supposed quarterback whisperer as their new head coach. and they go on to lose 47-10. And that game, Bryce Young continues to look awful. I think the jury might be out. It might be official that you can call him a bust. 13 of 30 passing, 2 interceptions, 0 touchdowns. The team allowed 180 yards on the ground. So just an awful start for the Panthers. Long season ahead. And my dishonorable mention, I'm going to give that to Deshaun Watson. Now, I might have included this guy in my top three, but I've been telling you guys for 2 years that this guy is a complete and total loser since he was traded to the Browns. They gave up all those first-round picks. They gave him all that money. This guy, he's washed up. He's shot. He might be completely mailing it in because he got that big money. And the thing is, that big money contract, that is what is handcuffing the Cleveland Browns from putting this guy on the bench. And it's going to destroy their season. But do not be surprised if in a couple of weeks, Deshaun Watson's not playing well, and all of a sudden he gets injured and he's going to be on the shelf for a very long time. Again, that couldn't have worked out any worse for the Cleveland Browns at acquisition and contract. Jingles, your biggest losers of the week.
Yeah, Deshaun Watson tops the list. I mean, it was the second worst performance by QB in week one. And anybody who had to watch that game also had to listen to Tom Brady. So it was a double punch to the groin for Cleveland fans sitting there through that. And it's just time to move on. And it's tough to swallow a $230 million contract, fully guaranteed. The rookies were ugly. I just faded all three starters under passing yards, and that one hit. I didn't give it out, but I'm just like, let's see what happens here. Daniels was probably the best rushing for two, but I mean, Marv Harrison was nowhere to be seen, and I didn't see a single running back literally do anything or get meaningful snaps. So the rookies on the losers list this week, their stock has fallen. Caleb Williams, not a great start there. And Bengals and Falcons survivor bettors, you got to be angry waking up today knowing that you put your week one on the Bengals and Falcons and got those performances. Absolutely pitiful. Both at home, both just absolute duds. Give me Michael Penix week three, week four, if we see more of this from Kirk Cousins. He obviously didn't get a lot of reps. There's not a lot of familiarity within that offense, but I don't know if it keeps going like that, you might be seeing some rookie under quarterback come October.
Mark S in the live chat says Falcons next two games at Philly.
Yeah.
And they play Kansas City.
So that was one of my bets. I was on Penix all year, right? Like Penix to lead in touchdowns, lead in passing yards, lead in this, because Kirk Cousins gets this gauntlet of a schedule early. And then after it, it's the easiest schedule in all of football. It's the easiest schedule in all of football, including those. But things lighten up significantly. So if they turn to Penix, he could have a cupcake schedule down the stretch.
They could be in a lot of trouble because the Saints looked really good yesterday. Mind you, they were playing the Panthers. And the Bucs might be good again, too. So, yeah, very interesting situation developing there in the NFC South. Okay, we're closing in on 1,300 live viewers. Brad Powers coming right up with his college football coverage here for week three. But like I said, we got a really big game going on tonight in San Francisco, the 49ers Jets. Guys, hit up the live chat. Let us know what you were betting on for this game tonight. Let's get right into our action here, guys. And you guys have heard my opinion on the Jets all off season. So do you think leading up to this game, I'm going to be backing the Jets? Absolutely not. I love the 49ers tonight. Got them at -4 over at BetMGM. Let me tell you why I'm betting them. All the big dogs are back here for San Francisco. The Jets are not going to get a break. They're not going to get a lesser version of this team. Ayuk, Williams, McCaffrey all suiting up here tonight. I think this is a really rough matchup for Aaron Rodgers, for him to make his return, and also for this rebuilt Jets offensive line to be making its debut, taking on one of the top defensive lines and secondary in the NFL on their home field. And then the coaching edge here, I think, is massive. I think Kyle Shanahan will be able to exploit his former defensive coordinator. The Jets defense is good, but I'm here to tell you they're not great. I think they're overrated. Down the stretch last season, they allowed 28 or more points in 5 of their last 8 games. So I like the 49ers to get it done and cover that number there, -4. Looks like money on the Jets is coming in here, though.
Coming in, bud.
Couple of 3.5s out there, but yeah, we'll take 49ers -4. We're both backing Brock Purdy tonight. What's your prop for him?
Just a small number on an over rushing for 8.5 yards, -110. It opened 6.5. It has gone up. There are some 10s, so 8.5 at MGM, taking that. Projects for 16 on 3.22 carries. So that's the number from the covers projections. And like no one remembers, like, let's go back to what we were doing as bettors around Super Bowl in the playoff time. Brock Purdy was coming off a 48-yard rushing game heading into the Super Bowl, and people were smashing his over rushing, right? This was a guy who had a closing line of 16.5 for his over rushing, for his rushing total in the playoffs. It's obviously not the playoffs. Obviously, there's some other spots where maybe this should be like 12 or something, but like this is still one and done territory versus an elite defense. I like Brock Purdy over 8.5 rushing yards here. Just a small number and one that I don't know what we saw at the end of last year. We saw that he's capable of going for 12 to 20 yards per game.
Okay, I'm backing Brock Purdy. I like him through the air in this game. I think he's getting disrespected. We're going to go over his passing yard total of 234.5. And how about a little bit of goddamn respect here for Brock Purdy on his home field being undervalued? Again, he was absolute dynamite at home here last season, absolutely cooking, where he was thrown for 309.4 passing yards per game against some pretty good competition mixed in there as well. And then, of course, he's going to have great protection going up against a good Jets defense, but it's going to be a major boost. Trent Williams is going to be back protecting him on that offensive line here tonight. So I think Purdy has a decent game here and goes over his passing yard total. Bring it home for us, Christian McCaffrey. What do you like for him?
Yeah, let's do the sharp thing and fade big time players here. Under 4.5 receptions, even money. We've seen his receiving yard total kind of fall, but this one's always a softer market. It moves slower. 5 or fewer targets in 6 of his first 7 games in 2023. Let's preserve CMC early. That's going to be the motto. Lots of mouths to feed within this offense with everybody back. And then Jordan Mason is probably the biggest thing. He's really impressed with his passing down skills. So he could be the third down back more so as they try to spell CMC and give him some breaks earlier in the season, obviously dealing with that calf injury. There's a lot to like in this spot. And under five is a big number at even money here.
I cannot wait. You know, I got to admit, I absolutely hate on the Jets, but we didn't get to see the whole Aaron Rodgers thing play out at all last year. And I got to admit, the image of him coming out on the field in New York with the American flag, that was pretty cool. But yeah, you guys know I do not like the Jets. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is just magically going to bounce back to elite form here at the age of 40 years old. This is not a 30-year-old man bouncing back from a serious injury. So I cannot wait to see how that plays out here starting tonight in beautiful San Francisco, California. Maybe not beautiful. I hear a lot of hate about San Francisco, but this is not the show for that discussion. Okay, Jingles, hopefully we can end our week one off strong here tonight with our Monday night football picks, but you're going to be right back with us on Thursday and Friday this week. Until then, though, tell the viewers what you're up to over at Covers here.
I'm just trying to find out who the biggest winners and losers are. Make some shorts about that. Get some content going on. How bad was Daniel Jones in week one? How bad was Deshaun Watson? And just, I mean, Daniel Jones, what did I find? Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley has more touchdowns as an Eagle than Daniel Jones does as a Giant over the last 2 seasons.
Yeah, I think Brian Daboll gets a little bit of a pass here, though, for some reason. I don't understand why.
Last year,
didn't the Cowboys beat the shit out of them? Was it 40-0? Remember that game? And then they come up they lay another egg here, basically, week one at home. So I think some of the blame has to go to the coaching staff for the Giants on that one. Okay, but we
also wearing the world's ugliest football jerseys, too. So that helps.
That was embarrassing, guys. Where's the pride here? The tradition? Bill Parcells? Belichick, Lawrence Taylor, New York Giants football. Shameful stuff. Okay, Jingles, we'll leave it at that. We'll wrap up the NFL section of the show. We'll catch you again on Thursday. Best of luck with your bets for the game tonight.
Appreciate it. Always, Joe. Take care.
Okay, closing in on 1,600 live viewers right now. Guys, if you're watching on YouTube and if you're new to Covers or if you're not subscribed to the Covers YouTube channel, make sure you smash that subscribe button right down there. A lot of great content up on the channel. Okay, let us shift gears. The man that most of you are here for, we go down to sunny Las Vegas. Our guy, Brad Powers. Brad, how you making out?
Hey, what's happening? Making out better than the Fighting Irish in Notre Dame, I can tell you that.
Ooh, yeah. Okay, we're going to be discussing them here shortly, but let's start. We'll do this every Monday. Take 2, your biggest 2 takeaways from the week that was in college football.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you could talk Notre Dame. You could talk the big win for Texas, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But I got a couple of different thoughts. And one is just the inconsistency that I see almost across college football. You can get on Notre Dame for losing, but look at how many other teams almost lost. Programs that we thought looked the part as far as being playoff caliber teams in week one. I'm talking Penn State almost loses outright as a 33-point favorite against BG. They're trailing the second half of that game. Alabama, you look at the final, they did okay against South Florida. That was a one-possession game. With 6 minutes left in the game, that offense looked bogged down. You look at a team like LSU struggled 2 weeks in a row. Nicholls State, I mean, 45-point-plus favorite, and that game, they're leading by one possession at halftime. So a lot of inconsistency, and I'll give you one team. South Carolina should have lost to Old Dominion as a 3-touchdown favorite week one. They go on the road to Kentucky, smash Kentucky as a near double digit underdog. I guess just there's only 12 data points in college football. You want to get a read on a team as soon as you can, and I don't have a great read on a lot of teams at the top of the sport, so that's a concern. The one team that nobody's talking about, sure, let's talk Texas. Obviously, Georgia's great. Ohio State's beat a couple tomato cans. The team not getting enough love, in my opinion. And they look the part. Explosive on offense. They have a lot of havoc on that defensive front. Is the Tennessee Volunteers. Both in their game against the FCS team that they, were supposed to destroy and did destroy. And then against an NC State team that people thought were top 25 caliber, at least coming in the season, they destroy the Wolfpack. Tennessee looks the part of a top 5 team right now in college football. They were the team that has shown consistency as far as the first 2 weeks.
Okay, so Tennessee trending up, Notre Dame trending down. So let's talk about them. What the hell happened there? Who's to blame? So they throw themselves a little parade here after week one. They go on the road. They win as an underdog against Texas A&M, and they respond to that by losing outright at home as a 28-point favorite, losing 16-14. What was going on here? Was a mob involved or something in the outcome of this game?
Well, I mean, it's a variety of things. I mean, it's been, consistent. Notre Dame's been consistently inconsistent for about 30 years now. It doesn't matter who the coach is. So I think it's program, it's culture there. But more pertinent to this year's team, it's the inability to beat teams over the top in passing. You have no explosiveness whatsoever in the passing game. In fact, right now, two games into the season, Notre Dame has one completion over 20 yards. One, dead last in the country. One completion. I mean, it's basically like a service academy type of offense. And the most disconcerting thing, particularly the Northern Illinois game, okay, Notre Dame's defense played great against A&M. You think, they only allowed 16 points against Northern Illinois. They played well enough to win. They got pushed around on both sides of the line of scrimmage. And if you watch the second half of the A&M game, Notre Dame pushes around A&M at the line of scrimmage. And yet all game long against Northern Illinois, they can't set the line. So it's concerning moving forward. And a hint in about a couple minutes, we'll talk more about the concerns moving forward with Notre Dame's offense.
Okay, so one team trending in the right direction, I think, USC. Coming into the season, we talked about this new betting market. Will they or won't they make the college football playoff? USC sitting there, plus 280 to make the college football playoff. Do you think that's a good bet after the hot start they've had?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say go out and, go crazy on the bet, but I think you can make a lot worse bets in that market. So I understand it and can see the thought process behind it. I looked at honestly, when you mentioned it, Joe, I was like, "Ooh, that sounds like a great bet." But then I looked at my projections. Keep in mind, it's still a very tough schedule for USC. I mean, it came into the season, the second toughest schedule in the country. I know they got the upset over LSU. Notre Dame doesn't look as good. Michigan doesn't look as good. Penn State struggled against BG. But then they also got games against Nebraska, who looks better. Wisconsin's a tough physical team. Rutgers is a tough physical team. It's just week after week after week, this USC team is playing a bunch of physical teams. And right now, my projections say 9-3. Keep in mind, that's up from 7.5 at the start of the season, already a win and a half above. I think they're on the outside looking in at 9-3.
Okay, let's talk Michigan, Texas before we get into your best bets here. So a 31-12 loss by Michigan on their home field, and it was actually worse than that final score indicated. Michigan scored a touchdown in garbage time there, three turnovers. Their third down offense and defense was awful. They've got USC coming to town in 2 weeks here. So is Michigan as bad as they looked here on Saturday, or is Texas simply awesome?
Oh, wow. Good question. The way you phrase it, probably a little bit of both, but I think it's more Michigan's got concerns than anything. I mean, we knew that they had an inability in the passing game due to, number one, well below average quarterback play. Also, wide receiver rooms, again, no game breakers, like similar to Notre Dame. You can't stretch the field. People put, you know, they load the opposition loads eight guys in the box. Michigan's offensive line, only zero returning starters from last year. So they can't run the ball when people load the box up. You can't throw it deep. Nobody can separate. So the offense is a problem. The biggest issue from the Texas game was the defensive line, which even last week, old Brad Powers talking that defensive line, oh, they're just as good as last year. They got pushed around all the entire first half of the game. Couldn't make a stop. Couldn't fit run gaps whatsoever. Texas's offensive line dominated them in that first half. So that's a major concern moving forward. Look, I said this, that, you know, we did a show a couple weeks ago. I said the defending champs won't make the playoffs, but now I'm guessing 8-4-ish for the defending champs.
Yeah, I think they were up to plus 600 to make the college football playoff when I was looking at it this morning. So, yeah, things aren't looking good here for the Wolverines. Okay, so let's get into your best bets. Bets to jump on now. So you gave out three on the show last Monday. They went 2-1. If we can go 2-1 on all of these every single Monday, we're going to have some happy viewers. So let's get into it. And you touched on this. Notre Dame, they head to Purdue. We have a 12.5-point spread. You think Notre Dame bounces back in this one?
I don't know. I can't lay points with an offense that can't stretch the field. And Purdue played an FCS opponent and then had a bye. So you know full well that they are preparing all offseason for Notre Dame. They haven't played Notre Dame at home in more than a decade. So it should be a charged atmosphere. Again, I give the situational edge to Notre Dame, to Purdue. You know, some might say, oh, we're buying Notre Dame low. Here's the thing. You can't lay double digits when you can't score points. Even the A&M game, okay, Notre Dame won by 10. Their 10-point margin came in the final 2 minutes of the game, so a little bit misleading. So I like Purdue, and I think they're live here. I think this line closes 10.5, 10-ish, and I'd sprinkle a little bit on the money line. I think the Boilers, I would not be stunned if they beat Notre Dame outright.
Okay, Brad, not high on the Irish. Next up, we have Central Michigan. They're coming off a 36-point loss. They're a 20-point dog at Illinois. And once again, you like an underdog here.
I do. I like Central Michigan plus the 20.5 here. Shop around with the best of number. It's not necessarily about the number for me as far as the point spread. Obviously, you always want to get the best of number. But for me, it's just an inside-out, old-school handicap here. Central Michigan, okay, they lost by 36. That's really bad. They're favored in the game. They were -6 in turnovers in the game. They actually had the yardage edge against FIU. So it's the most misleading final of probably the college football season so far this year. Were they the right side? No. Did they deserve to win? No. Did they deserve to lose by 36? Absolutely not with that box score. On the other side, Illinois was +3 in turnovers and an upset against Kansas. Very excited. So excited that they rushed the field against Kansas at the end of the game. So I think it's a little bit of a letdown spot. Got two misleading finals from last week. And on top of it, you got an Illinois offense that I'm never wild about laying points with. So let's take the three touchdowns here with Central Michigan.
Okay, last but not least, I need to reshuffle the deck here a little bit this morning with your best bet entries. Numbers on the move here on a Monday morning in college football. So third best bet here, Toledo, Mississippi State, over 58.5 points.
Yeah, we're going over here, over 58.5 points. And the reason being, you got two offenses, top 20 in terms of tempo. That's a pretty low total when you have two teams that run a lot of tempo. And I think mainly in this one, Mississippi State, fundamentally a different team than what they were a year ago. Defensive oriented, ground game oriented, didn't run any tempo whatsoever last year, Mississippi State. So they were dead nut under team last year. This year's team, new offense, spread them out, running a lot of tempo. I still think there's value here. So Mississippi State, Toledo over the total, over 58.5.
Okay, there you have it. Three best bets from Brad. Some insights for the week that was week two. So yeah, big week three here in college football. Brad's going to be right back with us on Friday. We might add another best bet or two. We'll also take a look at the biggest games of the week. So Brad, until then, best of luck with all your handicapping, and we will see you on Friday.
We'll try to focus on best bets because I don't know if you've seen the schedule, and I love college football. Not a lot of big games on the schedule this week. So
I looked ahead. It's not pretty. Yeah, we'll have something for you guys. All right, Brad, have a great week, man.
Take care. Thanks.
Yes, sir. Awesome segment. And that brings an end to our show. I'm going to love doing these Monday shows all season. The Monday Night Football, looking ahead with Brad's best bets here in college football. Very active live chat here today. We posted a poll. We put the spread up for the game. And 53% of the chat is on Jets to cover the spread at +4. You guys are going against me. I'm not really a fade the public guy, but if I need to choose, I would like to go on the opposite side of the public. I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid with the Jets. I can't believe so many people are. The Jets are favorites to win the AFC East? Really? With Robert Saleh as their head coach? Thank you guys all for watching today. If you're just tuning in and you missed the best bets off the top of the show, I gave out 49ers to cover the spread there at 4. I like Brock Purdy to go over his passing yard total of 234.5. Jingles, he liked Brock Purdy to go over his rushing yards of 8.5. Pretty modest. He could break that with one run here. And Christian McCaffrey under 4.5 receptions. He's kind of looking at Juwan Jennings over 1.5 receptions. I think it was around -140. Ayuk might be on a little bit of a pitch count. So if you're looking for a sneaky little play, that might be one to add to your card. Okay, that does it for the Monday show, but we're going to be right back with you guys tomorrow. Professional sports bettor Hitman is going to be with us, and he's going to be trying to get an early jump on some of these week 2 NFL numbers. On the show last week, he gave out for his best bet the Minnesota Vikings. Easy win for him, so hopefully he'll have more in store for us for week 2. But until then, thank you guys very much for watching. Best of luck with your bets here tonight, and we will catch you again tomorrow. Woo!